Hello and welcome to the July 2007 edition of Hot Type, Security Books and Audio. Brought to you by CertSecurity.com and Addison Wesley. I'm Billy Hurley. As always, our Hot Type podcasts bring you free excerpts from recently published information security books, read by the authors themselves. Today's featured author is Andrew Jaquith, a senior analyst with the Boston-based Yankee Group, and author of the new book, Security Metrics, Replacing Fear, Uncertainty, and Doubt. Jaquith is a program manager for the Yankee Group's Security Solutions and Services Decision Service. Jaquith has over 15 years of IT experience. Before joining Yankee Group, he co-founded and served as program director for At Stake Incorporated, a security consulting pioneer which Symantec Corporation acquired in 2004. Before At Stake, Jaquith held project manager and business analyst positions at Cambridge Technology Partners and FedEx Corporation. His application security and metrics research has been featured in CIO, CSO, Information Week, and The Economist. His book, Security Metrics, available from Addison Wesley, offers ways to find new and effective security metrics and measurements that match up with your organization's unique requirements. And now, reading a selection from Chapter 8, Designing Security Scorecards, here's Andrew Jaquith.
Hi, everybody. This is Andy Jaquith. Thanks for listening today. I wanted to read to you today from Chapter 8 of my book, and the chapter is called Designing Security Scorecards. And in this chapter, I talk a little bit about what building a security scorecard is all about, and I use the example of the balanced security scorecard elsewhere in the chapter, although I will only be covering that very superficially. So here goes. Keeping score is a natural human activity. We do it at school, with our sports teams, in our personal lives, and with political candidates. Familiar methods of scoring include report cards and test scores, sports box scores and league standings, stocks indices, and opinion polls. There are lots of reasons for scorekeeping: performance measurement, intellectual curiosity, creeping jealousies, and sometimes simple nosiness. Because I'm not a licensed psychologist, merely one with armchair credentials, this chapter focuses only on the business performance aspects of scorekeeping, in particular on scoring security performance. Scorekeeping, when expressed in a tangible form using a communications medium, takes the form of a scorecard. The Oxford English Dictionary defines scorecard as a printed card with a blank form on which spectators may enter the score in a game. The word score itself means a notch cut in a stick or tally used to mark numbers in keeping accounts, also the tally itself. Then there's this definition: a crack, crevice, a cut, notch, or scratch, a line drawn with a sharp instrument. I find both of these definitions helpful. The first reminds us that scores are all about grades and tests. In other words, they're based on evaluations of performance against standards. The second definition alludes to cuts and scratches, something we all dread when being scored ourselves. With that caveat in mind, in the pages that follow, I'll discuss the rationales and goals of good security scorecards, guided by a set of principles that can help CIOs and senior managers measure the effectiveness of their enterprise security programs in a concise manner. Metric scorecards require enterprises to adopt new processes for measurement. Generally, the process includes steps for defining and validating metrics, collecting data, and creating reports. Michael Rasmussen, an analyst with Forrester Research, suggests a simple four-step process. Step one, define. That means establishing a metrics team and define metrics and thresholds. Step two, source. Find the metric source and understand its accuracy. Step three, display and refine. Report on your results and revise metrics definitions. And step four, collect and enable. Transform data and create manual entry tools if needed. This chapter focuses primarily on the first step, defining metrics. The bulk of the chapter discusses a proposed design for an information security scorecard using a methodology called the balanced scorecard. Traditionally applied to the business as a whole instead of just security, the balanced scorecard methodology shows great promise as a way of aligning information security with business initiatives. I explore this important new frontier by introducing the balanced scorecard methodology, attempting to map the balanced scorecard to information security, selecting metrics for a hypothetical balanced security scorecard, and identifying potential barriers to acceptance of the balanced scorecard by addressing important organizational issues such as the importance of mocking up the scorecard and cascading the scorecard to different levels in the organization. Now, note for this podcast, I'm not actually going to delve into the balanced scorecard today. What I am going to do, though, is talk a little bit about the precursors for it and the conditions of what makes a good scorecard. If you want to read more about the balanced scorecard and how I've applied it to security, Please, by all means, run out and buy my book and many copies of it. It makes a great gift, might I add. Okay, so let's talk about the elements of scorecard style. To my knowledge, no Strunk and White guide exists for information security scorecards. I do not propose to create one here. That said, it seems to me that, like a good piece of prose, a security scorecard needs to follow some basic rules of style to maximize its readability for the audience. So those factors. Complete, it covers everything in the problem space without overlap. Concise, it doesn't waste ink getting your point across. Clear, it communicates simply without excessive jargon. Relevant, topics in the scorecard mean something to the reader. And transparent, the methods used to derive the scores are readily apparent. I'll explain each principle below. Complete. The most critical quality any security scorecard must have is that it should be complete. And by complete, I mean what my friends at McKinsey call conceptually exhaustive, spanning all areas of security. These areas include the classic triad of people, process, and technology issues, as well as higher-level activities like budgeting, innovation, organizational planning, and operations. Many security software vendors would have you believe that they, and they alone, can build magic dashboards that display a complete picture of organizational security postures and their effectiveness. It is a seductive vision that is easily sold to middle and upper-level managers, but it's just not true. Every software package on the market has biases and blind spots. Most security software packages can provide very good statistics about the areas of IT infrastructure under their control, but they cannot report on areas not under their control. They also tend to be very weak at the less tangible issues like organizational policies, budgets, resource allocations, people, and process. A well-constructed security scorecard needs to take less tangible issues into account, not just the things that can easily be gathered from an organization's preferred antivirus or endpoint compliance tool. These things can provide important data, but they provide only a small subset on what is needed for a complete scorecard. Attribute number two, concise. Information security practitioners, as a species, are control freaks. Operationally minded security staff, in particular, tend to be voracious devourers of information and statistics. As a result, it is understandable that this trait might manifest itself during an organization's initial attempt at constructing a security scorecard. Some security scorecards I've seen are overloaded with statistical information, of which the vast majority is related to security vulnerabilities or policy compliance. From the perspective of someone steeped in the day-to-day hurly-burly of security operations, all this detail is invaluable. But from the perspective of non-practitioners, the flood of detail can seem daunting at first. It's tempting to report on everything, even the proverbial kitchen sink. But in reality, this temptation masks an unwillingness to make hard choices about which metrics are the best ones. Blaise Pascal famously wrote, "I have made this letter longer than usual because I lack the time to make it shorter." Studies have shown that most people have well-bounded ranges for assimilating information. For example, in the 1940s, Bell Labs research concluded that most people could remember about 7 random numbers for a short period of time. It was this discovery and not limitations on technology that led AT&T to standardize on 7-digit telephone numbering systems. Putting the matter more simply, scorecards cannot ask too much of viewers. When constructing a security scorecard, it is wise to scale back the number of selected metrics to the bare minimum needed to convey an accurate sense of where the organization stands. The scorecard should fit on a single-sided sheet of paper or on a single web page. Clawing back the initial set of metrics is not always easy, but it is a critical step that speeds acceptance and comprehension. For security scorecards, short and sweet is a virtue. Attribute number three, clear. Security scorecards work best when they communicate clearly. Clarity does not necessarily imply dumbed down, but it does imply using plain language and graphics that are easy to understand. Clarity also extends to three areas: exhibits, annotations, and layout. Scorecard exhibits should be functional rather than festooned with ornate decorations and gratuitous three-dimensional graphics. I make this point fairly forcefully in Chapter 6 of my book, Visualization, but it is one that is especially relevant with scorecards. Annotations are essential for establishing context in scorecards, especially when that context includes time series graphics. Nearly everybody has seen historical charts that do this. For example, many high school students have seen graphics of the United States GDP over the last 100 years. And all these charts have a stock market crash annotation that points to 1929 that provides extra insight into the sharp drop in GDP that follows. Annotations on security scorecards for major events such as the Slammer Worm can help explain the data on the scorecard. As John Doerr, partner at venture capitalist Kleiner Perkins Caulfield and Byers, once quipped, "My two favorite words in the English language are, for example." With respect to layout, scorecards should group similar metrics. For example, a scorecard might have separate sections for perimeter defenses, spending, process measures, and compliance. To keep viewers from confusing themselves, it is best to constrain the number of high-level groupings to a manageable number. Not less than 3, but not more than about 6. More than that will make readers' heads spin. The goal of a security scorecard is to communicate two things: an organization's security effectiveness and its related ability to help the business understand and respond to new threats and opportunities in the future. Clear language, sensible exhibits, helpful annotations, and uncomplicated layouts will increase the likelihood that the scorecard will get these messages across in the manner you intend. Attribute number 4, relevant. Scads of statistics only show that the collector knows how to collect them. They may not be especially relevant to the subject at hand or to the audience. Practitioners should resist the urge to report on everything that they can conceive of or collect data on. In the final analysis, metrics mean something only when they assist with decision-making and analysis. Metrics that cause your audience to shrug their shoulders and say, "So what?" should be avoided. Marshalling impressive-looking statistics, in fact, can sometimes be used as a defensive obfuscation technique. My father, an old management consultant and quite the folksy philosopher, likes to put it this way: if you can't dazzle them with facts, baffle them with BS. There is no surer way to tank a scorecard than to lard it with irrelevant metrics. Any data shown on a scorecard needs to pass the smell test. Sensitivity to relevance forces the hanging question, why should I care? An important consideration for scorecards is not just the question of why particular data might be relevant, but for whom. Not all metrics matter to readers. CFOs will want to know about cost and risk. CEOs care about impact on reputation and profit, and CSOs worry about all these things and a whole lot more. Operationally focused staff, of course, need details that are much more closely tied to day-to-day risks and problem management. Attribute 5, transparent. Many of the security scorecards I've seen are no better than fairy dust. Sprinkle enough of it around and people will feel good because they have a quote-unquote dashboard. Consider the common case of traffic light-oriented dashboards. As appealing as this might seem on its face, the process used to derive the color is not usually obvious. When people do not understand something, it's easy to dismiss it, especially if that red traffic light describes something that they are responsible for. Thus, many traffic light scorecards simply and subtly provide team members with an incentive to discount their value. Why give readers ammunition to fight over methodology when their time would be better spent Oxfording specific observed results and outcomes? Oxford defines transparent as having the property of transmitting light so as to render bodies lying behind completely visible, that can be seen through, diaphanous. That is an appropriate goal for a scorecard. Effective security scorecards need to help viewers understand what methods were used to derive the metrics they're looking at. In addition, understanding metrics' component parts help viewers understand how their contributions can influence the scores, positively or negatively. Concise labels, plain language, and clear units of measure can help make scorecards more transparent. Units of measure are particularly important. The number of, quote-unquote, intrusions isn't helpful, but the number of intrusions requiring investigation relating to customer data might be, especially if the observed rate of intrusions increased to a meaningful degree. Measures having more than one unit of measure, such as ratios or percentages, are particularly valuable. Absolute numbers should always beg the question, what is the denominator? Metrics whose unit of measure is an index, a weighted score composed of multiple factors, need special attention. Indices can certainly be effective, but only when their component parts are well communicated and supplemented with annotations. For example, a historical index of PC endpoint compliance scores should have a related call-out, tooltip, or pop-up that explains how the score was calculated. Annotations could help explain sudden changes in the scores, for example, the acquisition of a new subsidiary or the distribution of a new baseline configuration. By the way, averages, and by that I mean arithmetic means, are rarely transparent unless they are broken down into multiple cross-sections as part of a benchmarking comparison. As discussed elsewhere in this book, averages make terrible analytical devices because they steamroll over outliers in data sets. it's easy to miss the trouble spots when they're averaged out of sight. Dennis Devlin, the CSO of Thompson Corporation, summarizes the problems with averages by asking, if you have 1 foot in boiling water and 1 foot in ice water, would you say that on average you're at room temperature? Going beyond simplistic averages, effective scorecards use quartiles, medians, time series, and cross-sectional measures to provide transparency. And if you'd like more information on those techniques used for data analysis, I'd refer you to other parts of this book. So that about wraps it up for this chapter. The remaining chapter talks about the balanced security scorecard, how it's calculated, and the kinds of metrics you can use for it. So thanks for allowing me to read to you today. Appreciate your time very much.
That was author Andrew Jaquith, Program Manager for Yankee Group's Security Solutions and Services Division Service, reading a selection from his book, Security Metrics, Replacing Fear, Uncertainty, and Doubt, published by Addison Wesley. Listeners to this podcast are eligible to purchase the book at a special discounted rate. To learn more and to check out our other information security podcasts, visit our podcast page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. I'm Billy Hurley. Thanks for listening.